WGNRadio.com/Cochran for all the podcasts. Miguel Cervantes is here. How are you?
Hello. Very well. Thank you for having
me. Nice to see you.
Thanks, man.
And say hi to this is G. Sukiyoshi. You're right here.
Hello, hello, hello.
Obviously, you know Mark Carmen.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is Marsha over here to your left.
Hi, Marsha.
Hello.
That's Joe and Michael in the booth.
Joe
there.
And Michael, what's happening, guys?
And up on the screens there, that's Mary and Steve in the newsroom.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
How are you?
And we're out of time.
Hey.
That's all we have time
for. So happy to be here. Thank
Just
you so much.
To introduce the show. That's it. Is this a show day for you?
It is a show. I have a show tonight at 7:30.
Hey, you're
oh, no, I'm sorry. What's today? Wednesday. I have two shows today. I've got to be there 1:30 today. 1:30 and 7:30.
It's kind of important to know
yeah,
that.
So I probably get there this afternoon.
How early do you get to a show?
I get there 45 minutes early. They get my hair done. I put the mic in. And
they
someone,
can do all that in 45 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to give out any secrets, but I'm going to. I get myself ready sort of at about 15 minutes before showtime, and I'm dressed by about 30 seconds before the show goes up is when time I'm finally ready to go.
It's because of the adrenaline rush of, you know, just going out there and popping it right then?
Well, you know, after 3 years, it's, you know, it's kind of...
It's a template.
It's not such a chore to get ready to sort of get myself in the place. I know all the places I need to be. I've gotten my rhythms and my timing down.
Sure.
So, you know, depending on how I'm feeling, my voice, what I did earlier that day, if I played golf or something that day, I kind of got to get myself ready to go based on the day. But generally, I'm ready to, I can get ready pretty quickly.
So let's back this up for me. How did Lin-Manuel Miranda find out about you?
I was just a guy.
Just somebody you saw.
Some guy in New York City, and I had auditioned about 23 and a half times for In the Heights
okay.
when it was on Broadway, and never cracked that one, never could get in the door there. I got in the door, but they shut the door pretty quickly.
But did you have any heat, any buzz about you at all?
No, I mean, I'd been on Broadway a couple times, but, you know, third guy to the left mostly. So not really any sort of big thing. And I had auditioned for Hamilton a while back, and they said, you know, I'm not throwing away my shot. And they said, okay, great, thank you, have a nice day. And so
I figured
that was done, and then it came back around, and I thought the same thing was going to happen. And then sure enough, four auditions later, he's sitting in the room with 25 producers, and here I am telling my wife we're moving to Chicago.
See, that's what's interesting to me, because I know how film works. In film, there's usually a callback or two, unless, again, you do the stuff that I used to do, which are one-line incredible roles, where you meet the guy in the men's room after, and he goes, hey, you know, wash your hands, because I wanted to shake your hand, because you're going to be in the movie. That type of thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, but in your case, there were literally four auditions?
Yeah. I went in once for the cast person and the music person, Alex, and that I was in there for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then they said, you know, can you come back in a couple days and work on a few things? And so when you get that sort of thing, an interest level peaks, and then come see the director, and he works on a few things, and say, hey, come back one more time, and you walk in the room, there's 28 people, and there are four producers, and the lead producers, and Lynn was in there, and all these things. And so then you're getting closer, and then they say, okay, well, great, so come back in one more time with some new stuff. And so the levels go on, you know, it can be, and I talked to some of the people who are in the show now who are getting the job more recently, and they're six times, eight times, you know, the dancers go in for all of these extensive workshops and stuff.
So, well, they got to get it right.
Yeah, they get off on rehearsal, so they teach them all the steps ahead of time, so that when they get in the room.
Well, but it's a complex show.
Well, yeah, you know, and what they look for is very specific. They are very interested in people who can, A, do the thing. They want to have people who, you know, look right and feel right and have the right vibe for the show. And then they're actually trying to meet you and find out who you are and what the person is like. Because one of the things that Tommy, the director, talks about in his companies is he wants to have a company of amazing people. Talent is part of that, but people who get along together, who will put the right energy on that stage, who will put, and it takes time to find out, because anybody can go in a room once
sure.
and do it great.
Right.
But you go in there four or five times, you have to see the person a little bit more and see who they are a little bit more.
How many shows have you done?
About 930. Yeah. 930. For whatever it's worth, I'm the most veteran Hamilton that there is, even beyond Lynn. I think Lynn only did it for about a year and 2 years total.
You still get excited when you go out?
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
it's an unbelievable show.
It's a unicorn. It's a unicorn.
Everybody says it over and over again. I know you don't get tired of hearing it. It is one of the greatest things I've ever seen on stage. Now, I don't know if you're a rapper or hip hop guy prior to this, but people go, oh, that's a rap show. I'm not a rap. I would call this adaptive rap.
Yeah.
Because it's rap into music, into dialogue, into rap, into music, in various parts
of
the show.
Well, and there's lots of rap in there, but then you get sidelined by a jazz song, or you know, the what did I miss, or a musical theater ballad, or a sort of, you know, or a very,
and it all works,
and it's all very seamless, and it's all very, I mean, it's calculated to within an inch of its life. I mean, everything up there, people say, oh, that thing that you guys messed around, I was like, yeah, right, we didn't, that was, it's all done. I mean, we sort of give our own feel and vibe, but
make it feel like you slapped it together every show.
That's my job. Yeah,
well, that's tremendous. You're amazing at it.
thank you.
And I don't know what you're planning on doing next, apparently playing golf with me.
Well, yeah, listen, anytime. Yeah. That's this is the lifestyle to which I've become accustomed now that I've been in Hamilton for a while.
And I hope your wife loves Chicago.
Yeah, you know, we got here in September of 2016, and we came from New York City. We lived in New Jersey outside of the city, and we liked it. You know, it's good, but man, there's something about this city that makes you want to stay. Oh, it makes you want to stay.
And you grew up in New York?
Well, you know, I grew up in Texas. I grew up in Dallas. Went to school in Boston, and then ended up in New York for the last 10 years.
Where did you meet your wife?
In New York City. We went to school at the same time, or we were in Boston at the same time, but we met in New York. She was an actress type, and then she got a real job.
Right.
So that I could keep playing around on stage. And so that's how we sort of our dynamic. And then we got to come here.
Well, you got to be getting offers right and left now.
I mean, I could be, you know, if I was really pursuing. You know,
but is that the type of thing where you tell your agent, don't tell me about the good stuff because I really like what I'm doing now?
I mean, you know, a lot of people ask me this really interesting question, and actors get this question all the time. Like, what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
What's next?
They go, what's wrong with what I'm doing now?
What am I doing now? You know, you don't ever ask an accountant, like, what are you going to do next? No, or a doctor. So what do you have planned for the next
After tax season, what are you going
to
do then? Yeah.
So in my mind, if I found this amazing job and I can hold on to it as long as I can, and Hamilton it's a unicorn. Because there's not a lot of shows in the entertainment biz that you can say this is going to last for as long as they want.
Sure.
And not, you know, I've been on Broadway three times prior, and every week we're hoping and praying that we don't get the call about, no, this is it, we're shutting it down. And so this one, you know, if I am in the good graces of you know, my body to make sure it's this holds up.
And the gods of Broadway.
And the gods of Broadway, that it can keep going, and some other, you know, Hamilton will be playing all over the country. And
I'd like to see it about an 85 doing this.
Yeah, listen, I'm
not going to break my hip.
Listen, I'm really going to be good at the second act, the older guy part. It's the younger, the first act part that I'm going to have a little.
Well, it's great to have you here. Hang around for a second. I want to get G and Mark Carman and Marsh and everybody involved in this too, and Rokan's coming up. We'll come back, get your headlines next, right, on 720 WGN.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Miguel Cervantes is here, lead in Hamilton. We'll get to our friend Rokan here in just a second. Jisoo Kyi is here as well. And Miguel's got a fascinating life. I want to talk about your daughter for a second.
Yes.
Your daughter has diagnosed epilepsy?
Diagnosed epilepsy. And as a medical lesson here, epilepsy is a symptom usually of something.
It's like an umbrella term, right?
Yeah. Epilepsy is a seizure disorder. And Okay. Seizures are caused by any number of things. Genetic causes, injuries, tumors, those kind of things. So epilepsy, sometimes in the world of epilepsy or in genetic conditions or something like this, the only thing you can fight against is the seizures.
Okay.
So, what we have found out is that in a world where there's so many things happening in the brain, you focus on stopping the seizures because the seizures can stop any development that is possible. So that's where the epileptologist and stuff, it's a seizure doctor to get the seizures under control. And that's what the epilepsy fight is.
And I know you've worked hard at raising money for the cause and things. Is there anything particular you want to plug for people to help out?
We are actually going to have a huge gala in the fall, which will come up. So I don't have any details about that.
But come back and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it then. You know, my wife, Kelly, KellyCervantes.com. She has an amazing blog about special needs families and the experience of raising a special needs daughter and that kind of thing. So check that out.
KellyCervantes.com.
She does amazing things. She's a superhero. You know, I always talk about myself. My job is to go out and do my little thing, and people stand up and clap for me at the end of the
But they ought to be clapping for Kel.
Yeah, they should be standing up for her and other parents and family members of
God bless her. Yeah. And your little guy, too.
And, you know, check it out, CureEpilepsy.com. If you're in New York by any chance, we're going there on Monday. We're having a big fancy gala in New York City at gocureepilepsy.org. Check it out.
Okay.
If you're in New York City, come check it out. We're singing a few tunes in New York City.
Well, that's good. You don't get a chance to sing that often.
You know what I mean? I really want to express myself.
I want to bring your friend Ro Khan in here in just a second. And Ro's a golf nut like I am.
Right.
But you have become a golf nut. And
yeah.
You invented something. What did you invent?
Listen, I started playing golf a couple years ago, since a couple years here, and I realized that I'm a very scatterbrained. I'm trying to figure this game out. I'm like crazy. I just want to be good. I want to start the tour after Hamilton's over.
Yeah.
And I kept losing.
You still have time. It's over
listen,
for Ro and I.
Right, I know, right? Yeah. Well, listen. So I kept losing all the things, like the tees and the ball markers and the divots. I just kept losing it.
Right.
I'm not on the green very often. I don't make divots so often. But whenever I do, God, I want to just get in there and fix it.
See, it's like David Tool ball marker tees.
Yeah, and I could never have it. So I was like, well, there's got to be a thing that you keep all that stuff together in one place, in your pockets. Because, I'm a phone in my pocket, keys in my pocket. I'm not a strict rules guy. And so I was like, well, let me just go on Amazon and find the thing that you can put that. And, you know, you use all that stuff. Where do you use it? On the ground.
Yeah.
So clearly there's something you can put that's close to your shoe or attaches to your shoe, and it does not exist.
It's a pretty good idea.
Well, it exists now.
Let me see.
It's called a shoe caddy. It's a little...
Ro
Khan in here. Ro, I'm examining the shoe caddy for both of us.
So you clip that onto your shoelaces.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, and so you can keep it down there next to the ground. They were like, oh, well, I don't want to bend over. I was like, dude, you're bending over anyway.
This just slides onto your laces.
Right onto the laces, and you keep all your stuff in there, and it's magnetic, so if you have your little marker that you got from
And here's the
Pebble
good news
Beach.
For old guys. You bend down once. You bend down, you pull your marker,
it's
you put your marker
there.
Down. You bend down once. You bend
exactly.
down, you fix it
and
to
And you
the
can
ball
put
mark.
It on your pocket if you want. It goes right on your pocket or your belt. So
dude, it's a great idea.
Yeah. So
are you selling it yet?
I am selling it.
Shoecaddy.com,
shucaddy.com. Lots of different colors. We got a pink one. We got some teal ones. Listen, ladies, have you ever seen where ladies put their tees?
Yeah.
In their hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, you don't need to now.
You can put it right in your fancy shoe caddy, right on your shoe.
And you can stylize.
Yeah.
You can accessorize.
You can accessorize. It can match your shoe, your hot pink. Or
is this mine, by the way?
You can have that, sir. I want you to try it out. The deal is that any... when you find out what you've been missing out on the golf course, you got to tell everybody how amazing your life is now.
Well, as you can see, I'm pretty stingy with the plugs.
Come on.
That's why I like your chances. Ro Khan, say hi to Miguel.
Hello, Miguel.
Hey, Ro Khan. What's up, man?
How are you?
Good.
You know, it's funny because I have heard, just learning engineering, now I'm getting mixed minus. Thank you very much.
Ro, by the way, is in his underpants at his house talking to us, Miguel.
That's how I do this.
You're looking for him.
Yeah. I do want to say, though, that there's a really, 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 really great invention still out for golf that I have not yet figured out how to personally make, which is a scorecard that changes to what you really thought you scored versus what you actually put down.
So sort of an AI thing.
You know, you
artificial intelligence.
It's attached to your watch, and it sees how many times you actually swung the club, and then it takes your idea of what it should have been.
Yeah. So like you had a 7, but it shows a 4.
Yeah.
On the
you know what I mean?
You would have made that putt.
Listen, it was it's like a resort. It's a resort score. It's called a resort scorecard.
Actually, when it's called a trump.
Hey,
that's what it's called. All right, let's go lightning round here. G, first say hi to your buddy, Ro.
Hello, buddy, Ro.
G Suki is here.
G.
And I'm not even going to have time to give you a hard time about your front row tickets last night for the Cubs, where a picture of you appeared on TV where you could not have looked more bored.
Oh, my God. As long as it wasn't John Cusack bored, I'm good to go.
It made John Cusack look like he was thrilled to be there. All right, so let's go around the room. G, question for Miguel.
When did you start learning golf?
2 years ago. The guy who plays the king, Andrew Call, came in, and his wife back in New York City, so all he wants to do is play golf. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll play, whatever. I'm more of a beer drinker golf, you know. It's just very casual. And it turned from, yeah, we'll play every once in a while, to me being at the gym in the simulator by myself for hours. It's like a cardio, sweating, trying to get it. And I'm getting there. But two years as a real deal. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you and I need to take them golfing if we can figure out a time where we can both do it.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of Hamilton playing golf. I think you should do it in costume.
Listen, if they would let me, I would do it. I would do it all day, right before the show, after the show. Give me my little green jacket. The green jacket. Hey, yo.
Right? Look how you worked at it.
Hey, yo.
Mark Carmen, the hookup with Miguel comes from you because you played golf with him.
I did see Miguel out there. He was strong. He was very organized.
And you're terrible, right?
I'm a horrendous golfer, but I'm fun to play with. I keep it moving. You know, you don't need to worry about me finishing the hole. Just keep along.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to know, if you could not play Hamilton, they said, you know, today's your last show, what would you miss the most about doing what you're doing right now?
When you go out on the autograph line and someone is crying or shaking or moved to tears just from seeing what you have just done, grown-ups and kids alike, it's a pretty profound understanding of what this means to people.
Sure.
You know, and I think to be able to be part of that has been
pretty special.
It's an amazing thing to be part of.
Marcia, question?
Well, I just want to know, how do you handle the lady fans? You know, you're not the bad-looking guy, and we know you're married, so how do you handle
that's a good point, because you got groupies from your demo all the way to dead.
You know, I have asked, seriously, I have been very, very unaware, you know, thankfully unaware of any sort of, you know, advances. Every once in a while, there'll be someone at the end of the autograph line that says, hey, what are you doing later? And I was like, well, I'm actually going home.
To my wife and children.
I've got to go to sleep. You know, the younger folks, they get to enjoy these days of Instagram and Insta messages and Twitter. Yeah. They get a very direct line to these people. And I think they take advantage of it, which is fantastic. But I my wife and my kids are plastered all over my social media. So I actually don't take a look. I don't go looking for the comments that are like, hey, you know, what are you doing or anything. So I've thankfully been
but there's a part of you that said, if this was 20 years ago,
I wonder how I would be able to sustain, because how could
you'd
you
be
not
dead by the weekend.
You're going out every night and meeting people, and I've got to be up and do the show the next day, you know?
I get it. I live the 90s. And Ro, question?
Yes.
Not for you, for him. Oh. You egomaniac.
Oh. Well, you know, when Miguel is done, I'm taking Hamilton to Olathe, Kansas. I don't know if you know that. That's one of the touring groups is going to be going there.
So you're the lead?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. No. You know what? I'm not going to miss my shot. So I just figured that I got to get it.
Rose playing the Y outside of Kansas City in a suburb.
Yeah. It's actually not one of the ones that they're making any money on.
No.
You know, that's the thing. Yeah. Hey, the thing to me that is most amazing, when you got that gig, did you just stop and think to yourself, oh my god, because it not only was it the hottest and most acclaimed show on Broadway as it was moving, you know, out to here, but it was also, it's one of the greatest pieces of theatrical art ever.
Was there a moment where you said, I'm not doing this?
No, you know, I had a weird moment when I went and saw the show, because I'd seen the show prior, and I saw Lynn do it, and I thought it was pretty amazing. Then I went and saw the show again. I was like, wow, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. I mean, it was mystical to watch him. But thinking back on when I got the call, I mean, it was the lottery. I mean,
it's a winning lottery.
It doesn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't
right,
happen.
Right,
and
right.
So I had to wrap my brain around the course of my life was changing forever. It wasn't just a cool job, but literally the course of my life was changing, and my daughter had just been diagnosed with epilepsy, so all of the emotions.
And your wife had to be on board to move to Chicago.
We had to change. She had to quit her job and all these things. So it.
And your little boy has had to be on board.
Yeah,
all of it.
He loves it. He's like, peace out, New Jersey.
Well, we got to do this again because we have no time. We have to do this again.
Absolutely.
And I know you're a busy guy, but
absolutely,
you and I are going to play golf.
Yes,
and we're going to ditch Ro. You know, we'll at least give Ro a plug for his
right,
show.
I'm,
what time
I'm,
are you on today?
3 o'clock. I will dress as the king.
By the way, the king is such a great character.
Fabulous.
You know, it's my buddy Andrew, and here's the real fact. He is on stage for as many minutes as I am off stage, and you ask people, who's your favorite? Who do they say?
Oh, he's a stealer.
The king.
He steals the show. He really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. Every time he's on, scene stealer. Ro Khan this afternoon at 3. Listen to him try to squirm and explain his really good seats for the Cubs game last night.
Oh, boy.
And looking bored as you could possibly be.
I was doing math. I was waiting for Aloha Jimenez to come up and hit the dinger.
Yeah. Hey, be careful how you talk. This my show now. Thank you, buddy.
Adios.
That's Ro. And Miguel, thank you. And with all the success of Hamilton, I hope everybody that wants to see it doesn't dilly-dally. It ends in January. Get your tickets while you can.
Absolutely. Come on down. We're going to be here. So we'd love to see as many people as we can.
All right. Great to see you, man.
Thanks, man.